This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, with Derek Piper, lead basketball reporter. And I turned to Derek at one point with about 6 minutes left, and Illinois just giving bucket after bucket or foul after foul and giving free throw after free throw. And it's a game in the final minutes with Texas Rio Grande Valley, formerly Texas Pan American. I said, they're going to lose this game, aren't they? And as Brad said, they didn't, because we have Shaq on our team at the end of this one. Kofi Coburn, 38 points. Alfonso Plummer, 30. But a lot of bad defense. And without Andre Curbelo, without Trent Frazier, and without Jacob Grandison, this game was close, Derek, to being an absolute disaster. And finally, one that I think would really hurt in March, and one that would make us really reconsider everything about this team. It's hard to take anything away from a game without three starting guards and three very important pieces of this team, but still, to have it come down that close against Texas Rio Grande Valley, no matter what Brad Underwood says about Matt Figger's team, his close buddy, that was ugly.
Very ugly. Sweat's good for everybody after Thanksgiving, but not the kind that you wanted or expected going against what was KenPom's 298th rated team, and that was in the same range as Jackson State, a situation where you had no Curbelo, no Trent, so I figured it could be a little dicey offensively. It could look ugly. You could turn it over. But I thought the defense would be a lot better. I thought that you would be in control in the second half and be able to cruise. So you do avoid the cringeworthy John Rothstein tweet about, you know, losing a bye game and all of that. But, yeah, defense is a big problem.
The cringeworthy John Rothstein tweet?
No.
Anyway, continue.
He's got a couple of those. But, yeah, defensively is a problem. I mean, even with missing your best defender in Trent Frazier and missing guys on the perimeter, this has been a team out in Kansas City that couldn't stop the ball and was getting beat off the dribble too often, and even giving up second chance points, which I think is a storyline maybe a little bit underlining. But there was a large portion of that game where I'm so sick of writing this, but UTRGV was tied in the rebounding battle and got some second chance points. So Kofi's a monster. He's a cheat code against anybody that doesn't have, you know, Hunter Dickinson, Luka Garza, whatever, and even then he can be dominant. So credit to him, credit to Plummer for coming out and doing his thing, keeping the hot hand, and he's living up to the billing of what Brad Underwood said he was in the offseason. So it is hard evaluation-wise because of the absences, and you're just kind of in survival mode right now. But it was discouraging, and this team continues to have some issues that even given the disjointed roster, they should be able to play better than this.
Yeah, so let's just do some whiteboard here of what's going on. Trent Frazier obviously out with that leg injury. Came out not on crutches, which is a positive, but I would imagine he's going to be out for a while. How long he's out, we're not sure. It's not an ACL. So say this hyperextension and a sprain, which is speculation on our part, my part, that's 2 to 6 weeks, right? So that's multiple games, multiple high major opponents. Jacob Grandison out tonight with the flu. You'd hope he'd be back by Monday, at least in some capacity. He didn't play very well in Kansas City. So what would you have gotten out of him tonight? Just a veteran, right? You could have used a veteran presence, just another offensive player who can give you some points, because it was, 38 from Kofi, 30 from Plummer, 13 from Hawkins, and barely anything from anyone else. And we'll talk about Austin Hutcherson and his really disappointing game tonight. But, and then Andre Curbelo, Brad Underwood said tonight, neck problems. So he talked more about the neck. Andre was here at the stadium. Jacob Grandison was not.
So you'd hope Andre Kerbeau could go against Notre Dame. He was able to play in spurts against Kansas State. But if you don't have Andre Kerbeau running this offense, it got dicey early, and then you finally were able to get some offense going with Coleman Hawkins made a couple entry passes, but Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk was really the one that finally got Kofi going with some good entry passes. And then I thought DeMonte moved the ball well. And it got to Alfonso Plummer, man. Plummer, last two games, has made 13 threes and has, what, 53 points. Kid's a bucket. Kid can go get you one, and they needed all of them. And Kofi Coburn's just the most dominant force in college basketball on the interior. And UT Rio Grande Valley had just nobody who could get to him. And kudos to Kofi for finishing, but also in the second half, they were really able to get him the ball finally, right? So should have gone for 50, but you get 38 from him. So you had those two, Derek, really carry you.
Yeah, Kofi and Drew Timmy both have 30-plus point performances against teams from Texas. Drew was against the Longhorns. This against the Vaqueros?
Vaqueros
for Kofi. But
which, by the way, Illinois did tell us, first time two teammates for Illinois have had 30-plus points since Andy Kaufman and Deion Thomas back in 1990, and that was a double overtime game. So Kaufman had 46 and Deion had 34.
Yeah, that's what you like to see out of Kofi, an 8 for 11 from the free throw line, 15 for 19 from the field. I mean, that's super efficient, and just you can't stop him. You can't stop him with the personnel that the opponent has, and that's what that's really special. Like, to look at those just gaudy numbers, and I mean, that's the kind of force that Kofi can be. And Plummer feeling that confidence, and we wondered maybe how long it would take for him to get acclimated. And we knew all along that he was a really good shooter, and defense is still something he needs to clean up. But just kind of this has been a good situation for him to get more opportunities because Illinois is a little banged up, and now he can continue to have that confidence. I thought Luke Goody played really well, too. In the second half, a guy that – I think he had 5 points, 3 rebounds, a block, and assist all in the second half, and played in some meaningful stretches there, so that was good to see. And yeah, Coleman Hawkins after the second half, and the first half was really rough for him, but after that, being able to feed Kofi, that was a struggle for him early. I know you at the outset mentioned Benjamin, who might get a 4-star in the player grades. How about that? Who would have thunk that? But, I mean, that's what you want to see. I think post-entries were a problem early on, and Ben really started to get the ball to Kofi and some other guys as the game progressed.
Just some fun with numbers. Through three games, Kofi Coburn is averaging 26.3 points and 10 rebounds, shooting 71% from the field. And maybe the most encouraging thing from him, Derek, two of them, shooting 68% from free throw, which if he does that, he's going to average 22 a game. If he makes those free throws and teams can't hack him at the end of games, or they do and he makes them, that's huge. But also, 3 assists in the last two games. He's passing it out a little bit more. Had 2 turnovers, I believe, tonight, but one on a pass out that wasn't very good. But when he just moves the ball like that and you have shooters like Plummer, it's huge. But Plummer, the first 3 games, or first 4 games, I believe, was 5 of 18 from three. On the season now, he's 18 of 38, so 47%. His numbers have jumped just like that, from 27 to 47 in just 2 games. I want to bring up Coleman Hawkins because he and Hutcherson were really disappointing defensively tonight. We know Plummer's not very good. At least I'm seeing little signs of Plummer fighting through screens, doing a little bit of these, not all the time, but just a couple times you can see him. It's like, man, when he locks in, I'm fighting through screens, he can do it. And he's actually stronger than Trent Frazier, right? So he can do that well when he wants, and he's focused on it. Coleman Hawkins and Austin Hutcherson were struggling all day. Justin Johnson's a nice player. Brad Underwood and Kofi Coburn both called him special afterwards. Listen, this Texas Rio Grande Valley team had 50 points against Arizona, right? And Arizona beat him by 54. It was really disappointing how they were unable to stop the ball. DeMonte Williams looked like he was the only one that could do it for most of the game. But, man, Hutch and Hawkins have to be better defensively there.
Yeah, there was a point late in the first half where Underwood just said to Hawkins, they're picking on you. Like, they're hunting you out. And how many times you saw him and Hutch just get blown by, and those guys are turning their back to the three-point line because their guy's gone right past them. And I know Brad mentioned in the postgame, Hawkins biting on pump fakes, and that's been an issue here. You saw that a number of times. That's just being undisciplined. So that's one thing you just got to be able to clean up, and those are mental mistakes. But being able to move your feet, and Hawkins and Hutch aren't guys that – are lacking athleticism or lacking mobility. So that's things that you just got to be able to sit down and guard and be able to be you know, tougher and more determined at that end of the floor. And I know that Hutch got knocked off his spots, and a guy that still looks sometimes physically weak. I mean, he's fairly thin, and a guy that hasn't been playing any D1 basketball up until this point. So that was definitely noticeable. And yeah, just the point of ball screens, that not having the right coverage and not having a guard, it's noticeable when Trent's not fighting through a screen and cutting off every angle. Obviously, DeMonte's a guy that can do that as well. And then just straight up, whether it's transition or in the half court, a guy deciding I'm going to the rim, and Illinois far too often allowed them to get wherever they wanted.
I'll give this to Hawkins, though. I thought he really bounced back, right? I thought his last 6 minutes of the game were really important. He had 7 points, made 4 free throws, made a huge three and a great pass from Luke Goody. I want to bring up Goody as well again, but then he had a huge block. He got beat but recovered and used his length to get that possession, get a needed stop for this team that just couldn't get and string together stops tonight, which is way bigger than any kind of offensive problem. They scored 94 points, but early on it was a little bit of a struggle offensively. So at least Hawkins bounced back. Hutch just never looked comfortable, never looked confident, and did make one bucket late in the game that you're seeing. There's that flash where that guy can get to the rim, but he's just got to lock in defensively if he wants to play. And jumping up on entry passes cost like 4 turnovers, I think, tonight for Hutch. I cannot be more impressed by Luke Goody. I thought they missed him in the Marquette loss. I thought he should have played more. And then in Kansas City, not having him for 2 games could have back spasms. I thought they really missed him. Derek, he just brings a poise. And I pointed him out again to you. I said DeMonte fouls out with, 2 minutes left. And he was so big defensively, and they knew they had to put Hutch back in. It's like, oh, no, what's going to happen? Luke Goody grabbed DeMonte, gave him a pat on the butt, and said, we got you. And it's just like, that's special for a freshman. He wasn't afraid to shoot. A big three late, big pass to Hawkins late, and then hit a mid-range jumper. He's just got an it factor, man, that I know Brad Underwood is really pumped about, but I think he's going to be an important piece for this team the next 4 years.
He's a winner. You can tell why he was the quarterback of high school teams that went deep in the playoffs, and a guy that was on one of the best teams in Indiana last year at Homestead, and just makes so many winning plays, and you can trust him. The fact that hasn't been practicing all that much with back spasms and just comes out in a game, doesn't have a turnover, and you just trust him to make the right play, but also, like, he is gritty and super tough and always sticking his nose in on loose balls and everything. So where this team has lacked an edge at times and a consistent energy or just an intensity, Luke has that anytime that he's on the floor. So I know that we compared him a lot as a recruit to Matt McQuaid, and a guy that was, you know, whatever the stat line said, ultimately he was just going to go out there and make a play. I think we're seeing that as a freshman from Luke, and I think that even based on what we've seen early, like, he has a higher, I think, ceiling than McQuaid ultimately, where McQuaid was never like a premier player or one of the, you know, as an upperclassman, a feature player at Michigan State. We could see that with Luke at Illinois for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see him being a top 2 player on one of these teams eventually. You talked about that edge. They're lacking it right now. They are certainly lacking it. Didn't have it against Cincinnati, obviously. Didn't think they had it a lot in the preseason. And they didn't have it tonight. I thought Goody brought some of it. I think Kofi brings such positive energy to this team and such confidence to this team. And so does Plummer. I think both those guys can bring a lot of confidence to a team. I wouldn't call any of those guys kind of the edge guy, the leader. DeMonte has played well, or played solid. There's just moments, Derek, where I'm more like, they need a little bit more from him. And I know it's a lot to ask out of him right now with Trent and Andre out and Grandison out. But Grandison doesn't bring that. DeMonte, I think, has to bring that toughness edge to him. And I also think Coleman has it, right? He's just got to control it a little bit at times and just focus more. I think for him it's just a lot of focus. And let's be honest, like, Brad is really hard on Coleman publicly. That is because he sees such great potential, and he thinks that Coleman can be really, really special. But he sat him for the last 6 minutes of the first half to send him a message and put him in the doghouse for a little bit. At least Coleman responded late, but you need more consistently from those guys when it comes to bringing edge and bringing that energy.
Yeah, and Cincinnati, again, they did not respond well to adversity. It was just a team that, you know, in points of the game, not being able to say we're going to lock down, we're going to be able to bounce back from a certain play. And it is noticeable defensively when you're not getting stops and you're not, blowing really an inferior team off the floor, even though you are missing guys. So I do think that Brad did talk about in the offseason, we got to be so much tougher. You know, we're not there yet, and we're seeing that come to fruition so far early this season, something they still have to earn. And you don't have an Io out there. I know that's a common narrative to come back to ultimately, but
didn't have an Andre or a Trent out there either.
That's true. I mean, Trent too has a, you know, you're not going to score on me type of swagger and attitude. And, but there does need to be more kind of edge and grit. And Demonte has rebounded well. Offensively, obviously he's got problems. I mean, his confidence is very much lacking in terms of being a shooter, and he wasn't good at all in Kansas City from that standpoint. So he's got to figure some things out. There's still some moments where you're like, is there something up with him?
Yeah.
Because he kind of maybe quits on plays or just kind of has a demeanor about him. You're kind of questioning. So on that standpoint, you need more like Kofi, Luke. There are a select few guys that you know are bringing it pretty much every time that they're in there. There's some others that need to be more consistent.
I mean, Demonte Williams – we know what he can bring defensively tonight, 8 assists, 0 turns, but he's got 9 points over the last 4 games. They need more. They need him to go get something at some point or take an open shot. He's passed up on some of those. So even though like he was plus 7 tonight and he was indispensable for what this team had tonight, there's not that edge that you see against Connor McCaffrey. You need that guy, I think, a little bit more right now, because this team needs a kick in the butt right now. You get 2 wins, Derek, after 2 losses, but this one doesn't feel like a win. Kansas State, I thought, was a solid bounce back. But you are right. It feels like survival mode with Notre Dame coming here Monday. Trent ain't going to play, right? Rutgers on Friday coming here. Iowa on the road, then home against Arizona. And then December, you get kind of some breaks, right? Like, you get St. Francis, Missouri. You know, that's never a break game. A Florida A&M, and then you start a Big Ten play again. But there's only 3 games in the final 2.5-3 weeks of December. So you at least get some time to get healthy and maybe get this team together. But it is kind of survival mode. You hope Curbelo and Grandison can play on Monday against Notre Dame. But that feels like a really tough game right now. I mean, Illinois started the year at what, number 4 or 5 in KenPom? They're down to 25 after tonight, and they don't feel like they're number 25 right now in the KenPom.
Right. It seems like it could be ultimately lower. And tonight you drop from 15 to 25, and defensive efficiency went from 4 overall to 19. And 4 was really, again, as we've talked about with some of these podcasts, a lot on preseason projection. And they're not getting those kind, they're not an elite defensive team. And really not a team that you can make an argument should be ranked at this point. Again, there's some reasons for that, some circumstances that are tough for them. But Notre Dame lost to Texas A&M, not a very good team. So I don't know how great they are, but it's a team that can shoot the 3 and has some weapons. And for an Illini team that's not getting stops, and I mean, I don't know how great Cincinnati is. We got to see how good Marquette's season is ultimately going to be. So could they give Illinois some issues, especially if Trent's out? I think that they certainly could. And the only way I would see it with Trent, and I know that Plummer tweeted out, don't worry, he's going to be okay. And we haven't heard an ultimate update on a timeline or a specific injury, unless it's like that Io fall where he slipped on the floor and maybe it looked worse than it ultimately was, more of a scare than that. But he was out of the game and couldn't even put weight on it. So I've heard that he maybe could be back here relatively soon, but like you outlined at the very, you know, outset, if it's a hyperextension or something like that, it would be longer.
Yeah, it could be, I mean, at least multiple games here. And I just wouldn't expect him in the next week, and you get some big, high major opponents. You'd hope Andre comes back, and that changes a lot for them offensively. Not sure it changes anything defensively, Derek. That's the – and Grandison, I don't think he changes anything defensively. That's what they got to figure out. And you asked Brad, how do you fix that? And he said probably 2 hours of practice tomorrow on really just – it's dribble drives, right? I mean, ball screen coverage and a lot of scouting report errors, which, you know, they got to drive that home, because that's something Trent does extremely well, Demonte does extremely well. You got to translate that to the court. That's college basketball. You can't just roll it out like in high school basketball and dominate everybody. You got to be on your P's and Q's there.
Yeah, I mean, if a guy only drives right-handed or 85% of the time, you cheat that way. If he does hit you with the left cross, if you do the Pat Chambers, he's like, make him go left. He never goes left, and then Iowa goes left and hits the runner. You tip your cap, but you do have to understand who are shooters? I know there was one point where Goody left a guy in the corner and Brad said, you leave him again, I'm going to take you out, because that's a guy that we've diagrammed that you don't leave. So that's just understanding and attention to detail. And then, yeah, just flat out guarding the ball and having more of a toughness about you at the defensive end. And I imagine that's going to be the majority of practice here going up here this weekend.
So, Derek, what's your panicometer at right now of a 1 to 10? I'll give you mine. I mean, just because of a lot of injuries. But I still think this team can be pretty good when healthy. Whether they're going to contend for a Big Ten championship, not they defend like this. That's my biggest concern is I think this team's going to be able to score points because you got Kofi Coburn, Andre Curbelo comes back. A lot of guys are getting open shots. Coleman Hawkins is really, really skilled, and I think he's going to be really good. Trent comes back, he's going to hit shots. DeMonte, I think, eventually hit shot. Like, this team has shot makers. When you have Curbelo and Coburn, I think it'll be fine offensively. My concerns are defensively. The good news is Brad Underwood's your coach, and usually that gets drilled into you, and they get much better as the season goes along. They weren't good defensively at this point last year, so that would be the optimistic. Mine would probably be, with everything that's happened, a 4. If they would have lost tonight, probably would have been a lot higher than that. But I think they're gonna lose some more games here in the non-conference, and we know how difficult Big Ten play is.
If you watched Arizona against Michigan, there is a vast difference between what you're seeing out of Illinois and what you're seeing out of Arizona. And that's scary. And I think also just the danger of losing a game you're not supposed to lose, just based on the way they're playing, based on the way you're not defending right now. And like you said, like, this was a team that last year went to Rutgers and gave up 90 points, and they weren't what they ultimately were, which was one of the top 10 defensive efficiency teams towards the end of the year. So, I mean, Brad even admitted in the pregame press conference earlier in the week, said, hey, my teams don't play well early. That's kind of been whatever's happened with me. They do get better. I like the fact that January, February, March, they start to figure it out. And I would say you're right, probably in the 3 to 4 range. It is jarring to watch some other teams around the country that you thought you were in the mix with and how much better they are, or whatever it might be. But you do have to take into account the injuries, the lack of continuity. But I mean, I still think that Illinois is talented enough to be playing better than they are right now. And I think the edge that they're lacking right now is concerning defensively. And then, like, a guy like Omar Payne that plays less than 2 minutes tonight, and that was a guy that you thought would be 15, 20 minutes a game off the bench, maybe not 20, but 15 off the bench, and a really good rim protector, and he's giving you nothing right now.
And we've talked about it before. Like, it's nice to see Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk do some things, but we've seen Bosman's Verdonk against high major opponents, and it's a lot different. Right, so like, Payne will be much more important than, and the fact that Verdonk is playing 12 minutes and Payne is playing 1.5 is a concern, because you're going to need Omar Payne at some point this season. Right now, it just doesn't look like you can rely on him.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
All right, Derek, let's talk a little bit about recruiting, because there are two big-time visitors here for Illinois basketball, and they're kind of putting their ducks in a row here. I mean, you get the two guys they got in the summer, Jaden Epps and Sincere Harris, then you had Ty Rogers before early signing, right at the end of early signing day. And now you get Dane Danger, great name, by the way, former Baylor player, redshirt freshman, only played 3 games for the defending national champions, didn't play at all last year when they won the championship, but a top 100 prospect out of Minnesota, really skilled, big body, probably needs to cut that up a little bit.
Yep.
He's here tonight. And then Jeremy Fears, he is a top 30 guard in the class of 2023, kid out of Joliet in my neck of the woods, and one of the best point guards in the country. So we talk about guard you here. That would certainly continue the run of great guard play Illinois has had. But Derek, these are two major prospects they got on campus that could be very important for the long term. Let's start with Danja. Why is Illinois having him on campus, and how do you think he could fit?
It's the benefit of having an open scholarship spot. And when you look at just the nature of college basketball right now, and you're going to have some talented guys that doesn't work out of their situation, but we're highly tied to recruits that are going to hit the portal and look to move mid-year. And last year we saw guys were reclassing or going mid-year, and Illinois didn't have a spot. And this time around, Danger was someone that they got in on early out of Minnesota. Weren't ultimately like down the line, kind of like in his final group. Ends up going to Baylor. I know Michigan State was in there, Ohio State. And at that point in time, Illinois hadn't arrived as a program. But he was born in Chicago, so he's got connections there. Tim Anderson apparently is the lead on him and knows some people that he's around in Chicago working out. And Tim has a hot hand now.
What a month. I was just saying, what a month that would be. I mean, Rez Johnson, who looks like a five-star prospect, at least this weekend as he starts his sophomore year. And then you get Ty Rogers and then Danger on campus. Yeah, it's a plumber streak here.
We know how good Ty Rogers is. And, yeah, for Michael O'Brien to say that Merez is one of the best homegrown prospects out of the state in quite a while, I mean, he looks the part physically, just really impressive. So to have the connection on Danger, and he hasn't done anything at the Division I level. He redshirted last year off of foot surgery and only played 3 games, 9 total minutes for Baylor this year. But like you were saying, I mean, he was – a top 100 big man, 6'9". He's at 270 now, which is on the heavier side. But offensively, he's got a ton of skill. I remember watching him EYBL, and I mean, I think Peach Jam was putting up 15-8. And someone that can not only score around the basket, but can face you up, can put the ball on the floor. And I mean, Ty Rogers is a Baylor type of guy. Dane was literally at Baylor, so the kind of that. When you start to think about the versatile pieces offensively.
Brad wants to be Baylor. I was just saying, like he loved the transfers. He loved the toughness. And, like, playing them last year, he loved watching that team. So, yeah, to get that kind of quality, those kind of Baylor players, he loves.
Yeah, physical guys, athletic guys, switchable defensively to an extent, and offensively, you know, very just hard to guard. That would be when you think it – Ty, and you think of Dane, you think of Coleman as they progress into that front court, and whether it's going to be Omar, but the fact that if you could get Danger to come in and be someone that could challenge Omar for the starting spot in the future at the five, or you know, however that's going to ultimately look, he's a talented guy, and for them to be his first official visit once hitting the portal. I know that Minnesota's trying to get him to come back home to Minneapolis. Michigan State's in there as well. But there seems to be some real traction for Illinois, and that'd be a really nice get.
Oh, man. Beat Izzo twice in a row would be something, too. No, you got to start thinking about post-Kofi life. And Brad talks about different pieces. Well, Coleman and Danger, very different pieces. Omar and Danger, very different pieces as well. Rogers, you can add to that front court mix. You're not going to have Kofi, right? So you're going to have to be better elsewhere. You're going to have to do it with a lot of guys. You're not going to be the same in the interior, but you got to be different. You got to be good still. So that's a very interesting piece. Fears, man. If you can follow Curbelo and Epps and Sincere Harris with Jeremy Fears, who as a true freshman we believe would play right away, right? That seems like the guy, Derek, in 2023, that if Illinois can start that class with him and Merez Johnson in 2024, who boy. But why have they done so well with Fears to have him here, and what makes him a special player?
Yeah, it's the turn of the program. I mean, you have an in-state guy. I know that he's playing at La Lu now, but someone that local product that sees the program obviously risen to the top of the Big Ten, and the guard play. I mean, the fact that they've had Io come in here out of the state and be in that similar range, top 30 type of player, elevated him to a Bob Cousy Award winner, gets him to the NBA. Curbelo, all the, you know, what he's done and what people expect him to do still. I think Curbelo and Fears as pass first point guards, you can just really go in transition, have great feel, and that true floor general. They're similar types of point guards, and I know that Fears looks and sees Curbelo as someone that's not going to probably stay 4 years. I know everyone's going to say, well, look at the way Andre's played so far. He's going to have to live up to that still, but it's the guard play. It's the way the program has elevated. It's the way the program has prioritized him. You know, Jeff Alexander, as soon as he transitioned to an assistant role, was full speed ahead on recruiting Fears, and Underwood and Jeff both went and saw him here recently. And it's really kind of boiled down to Illinois, Michigan State. Again, you mentioned Izzo as this thing's gone forward. And he's a guy that seems to be wanting to decide sooner than later. So Illinois has had him now on campus three times since the summer, doing very, very well. A guy that's really boys with Kyle and Boswell. Can you ultimately get both of those? That's still to be determined. But Fears is who they've really highlighted as, hey, we got three top 100 players in 2022. We can transition to younger classes. We want him to be an early get we secure.
Be a heck of a recruiting month or recruiting months for Illinois if they can swing that. It's amazing what a little winning can do. Unlike when they lost to, what, Ford Atlantic here a couple years ago, Kofi Coburn in attendance.
I was going to say, some of those games tend to lead to recruiting commitments, apparently. When you had the Florida Atlantic one, you lost to Marquette, you get Ty Rogers.
Kofi said, I looked at that team and said, I'm going to play a lot right away and play a big role. So Jeremy Fears has some time here, but obviously he sees some talent on the team, and I think we all know this is not the full team. We've only seen the full team twice, and that was in Kansas City, and even Goody wasn't even available in those, and then Curbelo and Frazier dealing with their stuff towards the end of the Kansas State game. So just a disjointed start to Illinois basketball on the court. Off the court, they're rolling, though, in recruiting. So we're going to have plenty more on that later on in the weekend, and don't miss your chance. This is our best deal of the year. If you're not a VIP member, 75% off your first year of Illini Inquirer VIP membership. So that's more than $90 of savings. So I'm telling you, our deals don't get any better at 24/7 Sports. So take advantage of that. We got a lot going on. Joey Wagner's up in DeKalb tonight covering Jordan Anderson and Malachi Hood, who just won a state championship. Jordan Anderson over 300 yards in that game. He's pretty good. And we'll cover throughout football this week. Derek's going to have recruiting updates with the two guys we were just talking about, Fears and Danger. And, of course, all the analysis. And it's a big recruiting weekend for Illinois football as well. Some top targets in the class of 2022 will be on campus. And could be a busy weekend for them and a lot of movement here in the last couple weeks before early signing day, so check that out.
Just wait till transfer quarterback season coming up soon.
Yeah, starts Monday probably is that when that's all going to start. But, yeah, we got a lot coming up, so check us out at Illini Inquirer. For Derek Piper, I'm Jeremy Warner at State Farm Center. Everybody have a great night. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.